Okay, Roberta, go ahead.
I go ahead. Okay, good morning, everyone. So the purpose of Agenda Paper 30 for this meeting is to provide an overview of the key messages from outreach activities, the online surveys, and a preliminary analysis of the comment letters on the request for information of the second comprehensive review of the IFRS for SME standard request for information that was published in January 2020. At the meeting today, we are not requesting any technical decisions from the board. We recommend that the board ask to the SME implementation group to discuss a comprehensive summary of the feedback on the request for information and develop a set of recommendations for the board on the next steps in the second comprehensive review of the IFRS for SME standard in the light of this feedback. So focusing on the session today, the agenda paper includes three main parts, the background, the feedback sources, and the feedback on the specific questions in the request for information. As noted in slide 6 and slide 7, SMEs play an important role in the global economy, and according to our jurisdiction profiles, more than 80 jurisdictions require or permit the IFRS for SME standard. In addition, the IFRS for SME standard influences some jurisdictions in developing their local GAAP. You will recall that the request for information is the first step in the second comprehensive review of the standard, and the request for information has three parts. So part A addresses the strategic and general questions. Part B includes questions on aligning specific sections of the standard, and part C includes questions on new topics and other matters. The request for information was open for comments for 270 days until the end of October. And as noted on slide 9 of the agenda paper for this session, during the comment period, we have conducted outreach activities. We met remotely with over 2,000 stakeholders in approximately 15 individual and group meetings in over 90 jurisdictions in Africa, Americas, Asia, Oceania, and Europe. We have received 66 comment letters, and we also made available an online survey for stakeholders who do not have capacity to submit a comment letter. And this online survey was available on our website from April to October. The survey replicated the questions, including the request for information, and 30 online surveys were completed, of which 21 from individuals and 9 from organizations. To obtain feedback on the information needs from users of SME financial statements, we made available a user survey with 13 questions, which was open between August and October. And 54 user surveys were completed, of which 14 from users and 40 from non-users. So we have considered the responses to the survey by type of respondent. And we also had 12 interviews with users from 7 jurisdictions, of which one interview was completed after we drafted the paper for the meeting today. Overall, in terms of overall feedback, stakeholders expressed support for the standard continuing to be based on full IFRS standards. And in particular, regarding the feedback on the strategic and general questions, which are discussed in slide 17 to 19, the stakeholders express general agreement that principles and important definitions in the IFRS for SME standard should be aligned with those in full IFRS standard, to the extent that the benefits of a change outweigh its cost. Stakeholders also generally agree that the principles of relevance to SMEs, simplicity and faithful representation assist in determining whether and how to align with full IFRS standards. But they note the importance of assessing cost and benefit. And there were some mixed views on when the board should consider aligning a new requirement with the IFRS for SME standard. Regarding the feedback on the questions on aligning specific sections of the standard, which are discussed in slide from 20 to 30 of the paper, stakeholders express general agreement on aligning the specific section of the IFRS for SME standard with full IFRS standards, but highlighted the importance of simplification as well as cost and benefits in deciding whether and how to align the standard with new requirements, particularly for major standards like IFRS 9 and IFRS 16. And finally, regarding the feedback on new topics and other matters discussed in slide from 31 to 34 of the paper, stakeholders express support for the board's rationale and mention different topics and issues that they think should be addressed in the comprehensive review. Finally, the question for the board is set out in slide 36, which asks whether the board agrees with our staff recommendation to ask the SME implementation group, the SMIG, to discuss a comprehensive summary of feedback on the request for information and develop a set of recommendations for the board on the next steps in the second comprehensive review of the standard. And with this introduction, I would now hand over to the board for the discussion and any question or comment that you might have. Thank you.
Roberta?
Yes.
And... No, I just said thank you, Roberta. And,
okay, sorry, Anne.
Tadeo.
Thank you, Hans, and thank you, Roberta, the staff, for summarizing the feedback received from this request for information. I'm quite glad that Americas, which is the region with more IFRS for SME users, has responded accordingly. And when I see the statistic, I was really glad that we made this. And part of this is due to the work of these MIG members in the region, and also to the fact that the staff has given many options to the respondents, and it really helps. It was very, very good for the process. I have actually, looking at all these slides, just I think that we still need to go further, but I have just one question, comments, and on the slide 18, there's a comment about the need for, you know, in the column of the concerns, need for a stable platform. My question is, what exactly the meaning of stable platform? Is it related to the framework alignment principles or the frequency of the amendments? That's one question. And just to, if you can answer that one after that, just two quick comments on the slide 24. Again, it's not a question, just a comment. You referred to mixed views on retaining the three categories of joint arrangements. I personally think this concern is consistent with the general agreement on the alignment of the definition of control. And finally, on slide 37, on the questions to these MIG members, I understand that we are asking for their recommendation after they consider the feedback received on the request for information, just to avoid the emphasis on their personal view. Thank you.
Okay, I can answer to these three questions. Thank you, Tadeo, for raising those points. So regarding the meaning of a stable platform, I think that response meant the frequency of the amendment. So they probably welcome the update of the IFRS for SME standard, but at the same time, they suggested to consider a stable platform would be probably less costly for entities in applying the standard. Regarding the question on joint arrangement, so the feedback on three categories, I think that the reason for the mixed views is just related to the fact that we had three separate questions on IFRS 11 in the request for information. So where there was probably more support for alignment without too many comments, on retaining the three categories, I think that respondents had more comments and different views. So definitely when we will analyze this topic in detail for the board to consider in the next step, we will analyze the comments about IFRS 11 in entirety. So we'll be able to check whether the feedback is consistent with aligning the definition of control. And on your last question, Tadeo, regarding the advice that we recommend to ask to the SMIC member, I wanted just to confirm that, yeah, absolutely, we would suggest that they develop a set of recommendation, having in mind the feedback analysis. So it's definitely based on the feedback summary, and for that meeting of the SMIC, we are planning to provide a much more detailed analysis so that they have the basis to develop the set of recommendations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. Martin?
Yes, thanks, Hansman. I agree that we providing this question to the SME implementation group, but I have one concern, because if we look at the statistic, comment letter, and also responses from the survey, and it was majority of respondents are accountancy bodies and standard setting bodies. And we have only answers from six preparers to the comment letter, and in the survey it was only nine. And is that really sufficient for this SME implementation group to address this strategic question of this alignment approach or more of a more stable approach? Because I think the main issue regarding decision on this is for preparers a cost. And if we have only feedback from some preparers, and we have seen in the statistic how many SMEs we have in the world, and we have only answers from from six comment letters and nine in the survey, I don't know if that is a sufficient basis really to conclude on that. Or is this planned, this SME implementation group, to do further outreach for this question, or do we think that is already sufficient? Because I was really surprised that we have only this few answers from preparers for this very important question.
I mean, I can comment because I was surprised as well, Martin, in terms of the number of responses from preparers. But I think that this is related to the structure of small, medium entities that normally do not have a system to develop comment letter. They mainly rely on their auditors or the accounting bodies, the organization that groups the chartered accountants to communicate the feedback and the experience that they might have in applying the standards. I don't know the SMIC members in detail, but maybe Michelle can add a little bit of flavor on these. But my understanding is that the members of the group have a daily contact with the practice of the preparers that actually use IFRS for SME. Probably the composition of the group, consider the fact that they have access and the possibility of communicate to the preparers in a different way compared to the comment letters. So that's my comment.
Okay. Thank you. Bruce?
Thanks, Hans. Just interesting on that last point. Just want to echo what Roberto was saying in terms of the response to Martin's question. This standard is widely used in South Africa, but I'll tell you that what she says is right. Probably 95% of the preparers would work through the standard setting bodies or through their institutes to submit comments. It doesn't surprise me at all that we've got very little direct feedback from preparers. I just don't think we would get that. Also, just give in mind that a lot of these companies are very reliant on their auditors to prepare their accounts for them. It's just the nature of that industry. So that doesn't surprise me. Just something I was going to say on the way it was done. I mean, to start off with, I'm very pro the surveys. I mean, the fact that we've got more responses from Africa than we normally would have got is a great thing to see. And when I've spoken to some of the various people around the continent, bear in mind that when you're getting to something like SMEs, this is a widespread issue, but it's a widespread issue that generally is going to impact developing nations, a lot of the guys using at the moment, which means you're not going to have the infrastructure for a lot of those people to do full-on comment letters. So, I mean, whereas I accept that this would be useful here, granted on something like insurance, you probably wouldn't have had the same type of feedback because it's just not going to work from that point of view. I'm very supportive to also send this to the SMEAC. I think that there are some key questions, and I mean, I appreciate we're not going to get into the technical discussion now because I think from what I understand, this needs to go to the SMEAC first. But I do think that there's some fundamental issues there. And I mean, things like alignment to me is a big issue. Being new on the board, I wasn't around when you guys had those discussions around alignment. So I guess it's kind of playing catch up in terms of where you guys have come to on that. But I'd be very interested that when you get to the SMEAC and we got a lot more of those preparers and those auditors and just look at the composition of the SMEAC and the type of people who are going to give us feedback, I think it'll be very interesting to see also what their views are. So I'd be very supportive to send that to them. Last comment I was going to make was very similar to the one today I made. I mean, when you talk about a stable platform, I can tell you, to me, that is something that is absolutely fundamental to the preparers in the sector. If we're going to go out there and get something that's going to continually change, I think that we'll find that the value of the statement, the standard will really, really kind of decrease, especially in those markets who are using it at the moment that I'm aware of.
Jen Chow.
Thank you, Hans. First of all, I appreciate the staff's summary, try to bring those arguments which support our proposal, also the concerns and the difficulties the alternative approaches to bring those stuff together. I think we got a very good general picture. Particularly, I think that most of the stakeholders actually agree with our overall aligned principles, overall approach. That is very positive. And several comments. First, I think as Martin mentioned, actually I also look at the structure of those, you know, respondents. First, preparers, but as Bruce said, that also it's also consistent with what I heard from when I conduct outreach activity. It seems that those preparers, normally they prepare or submit their views through those national standard setters and accounting bodies. So this is one thing. There's not so many preparers deliver their common letters. Actually, they are not surprised. When I read most of the common letters, there's 66 common letters. Actually, there are no single common letter from users. So it's also what surprised me. But I really appreciate the staff did a wonderful job to reach out to do user survey and users interview. And that those message, those information, try to listen to the users' views and to get reaction from users. That is really helpful. So I appreciate that staff's efforts to gather the views from users. And finally, I think that some stakeholders raised the issue about cost and benefit and undue cost or efforts, whether those those concerns could be added to be additional alignment principle. Previously, I think that simplicity, we got three principles there. Simplicity could be regard as we have considered those cost benefit, you know, concerns. But I think that in the future we can consider whether we should add additional principle or simplicity included those concerns. So I agree with staff's recommendation. We should try to seek the advice from CIMIC members, because CIMIC members, those members do have, you know, expertise in this area, and to seek their recommendation for the board with regard to the next step of this project.
Thank you, Jen Chao. Françoise?
Thank you, Hans. And thank you to the staff for having such a widespread outreach effort. I think that's quite impressive and a lot of improvement over the past. I support the staff recommendations, but I have one or two caveats. I think the advice that we can receive from the SME group is very valuable. But we should not, as a board, move away from having our own in-depth analysis, understanding of the comments received. So at some stage, I think we need to have the benefit of having full analysis of what we have heard. And I also would want to ask the SME implementation group to reason their advice based on the comments received, but having users' needs in mind. And I think that's, you know, it's very important that we have how they articulate. I mean, the thing that I would really not want to see is that every recommendation or most recommendations are justified by this will reduce the cost of education of accountants throughout the world. I think that's a good objective. We know that it's a supplementary benefit, but I really think that in the way we have dealt with the BCUCC model, we have differentiated through users' needs, and we have the same type of differentiation here. And I think they need to reason, and that's why they're very valuable. Bringing also what they know in practice is important from users. We have this user survey that helps also. I would want recommendations articulated around users' needs. And I would also want to see not a single recommendation, you know, but also, you know, whether that the majority view was a very wide majority view, or whether there was a lot of contrast in the various pros and cons that have led to having finally one answer. So to me, all this intelligence of the reasoning, of the analysis, is key to me to make the recommendations worth. Thank you.
Thank you, Françoise. Mary?
Thank you, Hans, and thank you, Françoise, because we got the order just right. Your remarks are really very much the way I was thinking about some things. And so let me start with a general comment and then just offer some observations about specific recommendations. The general comment was how pleased I was to see that the overall feedback was that people thought we got it right in terms of the focus on alignment with IFRS standards. And, you know, that was something that we spent a lot of time thinking about before we published the request for information. And I was really pleased to have a pretty clear view from the consultation about that. I guess I have some hesitation in thinking about an additional explicit cost benefit, given that that is something that we do very substantially when we're thinking about how to simplify requirements in a full IFRS standard to for inclusion in the SME standards. So I, a little hesitation on that aspect, but I thought overall it was a very positive message. And bearing in mind some of Francois's reminders about ultimately the board having to know the detail and take responsibility, I think, well, I'll be very pleased to get input from the SME implementation group for the reasons that, that others have said. I guess I would like to not only remind them to give that view in the context of the feedback received, but also if we have any questions that we particularly want to highlight where we as board members would like their input to do that. And so I'm going to give you some suggestions for that. And, it's kind of a miscellaneous shopping list, which I guess is appropriate as the Christmas holidays approach. But let me start with slide 21 in the alignment with IFRS 10, and in particular the point about investment entities. I guess I remain concerned thinking about an investment entity, how clearly it, you know, whether that's really going to strain the not public interest entities scope definition of the standard. And I also think about the complexity we've seen with some of the knock-on consequences in IFRS 10. So I guess I'd want a pretty overwhelming statement that that this is something worth considering. So I would particularly draw people's attention, ask them for comment on that. And I think a similar comment, if you look at slide 23 about financial guarantee contracts, the suggestion in the right-hand column about considering simplifications, I'd be all for simplifications if we can find a way of doing it in a way that doesn't undercut, and this goes back to Francoise's point, the user information needs, because financial guarantees, I'm not sure how much scope there is for simplifying unless we were to go down a route that I think would not be helpful of saying just disclose their existence type of thing. So just caution on that one. On slide 25, talking about business combinations, for the staff, I wasn't sure what kind of simplifications we were being encouraged to consider. I guess I'm thinking that the requirement to expense transaction costs sounds pretty simple, so I didn't know if this is maybe code for something might not be necessarily simpler, but just might be involved in including it in the cost. And then in terms on that same slide of guidance on group reorganizations, I'm presuming that our project on business combinations under common control will be the framework for developing something. So I would hesitate to front run in the IFRS for SMEs the work that we're doing in BCUCC. So I guess the question for the SMEG is this of such a high priority that you think we should take the risk of front running? In terms of IFRS 16 and leases, don't worry, Hans, my shopping list is almost done. In terms of IFRS 16, concerns that too many simplifications would be needed for the accounting model to make it useful. And I guess that's something where it would be helpful to get a bit more color from the from the SMEG members, because, in its most basic description, IFRS 16 was about moving the line, not about significantly new or more complex accounting. So I guess it isn't clear to me what the comment is aiming at there. In terms of levies, which is discussed on slide 30, I guess I'd... My first reaction is, we're doing some work at the board level on IS 37, in particular the interaction with that IFRIC on levies. I think my assumption is that it would be helpful to know where we intend to go on that before deciding the details on that one. And then the last thing in terms of slide 33 and the comments about some of the difficulties applying defined benefit obligation accounting. Just from the slide, it sounds like this is an area where maybe there's some poor understanding of the existing requirements and the existing I4S for SMEs. And maybe the SMEG could think about whether this is an area for which educational materials of some kind might be maybe more useful than standard setting. So a range of comments, but my objective is to say when we, you know, to help give the staff maybe some things to ask the SMEG to focus on when they have the discussion of the RFI feedback and development of recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Sue.
Thanks, Hans. My general observations are very similar to the comments that both Françoise and Mary have made. I think for me, the main thing is being very clear ourselves with what we're hoping to get from the SME group, both so that they can be as helpful as possible for us, but also so that we don't disappoint them with what we do with the feedback that they give us if they go down a path that we can't really deal with. And for me, I think the thing that's most helpful for us would be if they can help us move forward. So given the feedback that we've got, how do they suggest we think through some of these issues? Because they've got the benefit of having a very good perspective on things that really matter to this population. And when I looked at the questions on page 37, slide 37, I was a bit surprised, because if you look at that cold, that sort of reads as though we're asking for their own views. But I think the intention is that it's really saying, given the feedback we've got, what are you thinking? And I think anything we write, we have to be super, super, super clear that that's what we mean. It's not asking them for a fresh set of recommendations. It's given this feedback we've got, you know, how should we think through these issues? And like Françoise, I think in a lot of cases, I'm not sure that it's going to really be what we need from them, for them to recommend what we do, but maybe how do we balance situations where we've got quite different views from different stakeholders? How do we think through, you know, how to decide what is most important and how to move forward? So they're going to need, I think, quite detailed background information well beyond the depth of what's in these slides to do that for us. So I'm hoping that's the intention. I think one thing to watch for, in addition to the points that Françoise raised about user needs, is that there's a couple of sort of recommendations which I can see why they're sort of attractive from a simplification perspective, but I think would probably be difficult for us to work with. And so it would be good for those involved in the SME discussion to sort of be quite clear what might be palatable for the board and what not, so we don't sort of have cross communications. And a couple of examples that struck me were, in a couple of places there was a suggestion that the way to deal with it was to allow more options. So for example, allow you to have use the investment entity exception or not. We don't tend to like options, and I think they add complexity. So for me, that seems like something we would maybe, you know, have to ask a lot of questions before we'd go with a recommendation like that. And in some cases, the effect of some of the simplifications suggested would move us a long way away from the big book, I think. So the one, of course, that comes to that came to my attention looking through the slides is the example of some that it might be good to move to a best estimate approach to impairment for IFRS 9. That's not an expected credit loss model. So something like that is, for me, far more than just a simplification. That's just a different thing. And so I think we just need to be, have in our own minds some parameters that we have in mind so that we can at least flag suggestions that are difficult for us, I think, to deal with, so the SMEG doesn't, you know, latch onto things and recommend them that we're likely not to be as receptive to. So just some suggestions. Thank you.
Jen Chao.
Thank you. Just to add one point, as I think Françoise has made a very good point to remind me that to address the user's needs, because I think in the end we needed to justify what's the recommendation and what's the proposal we are going to have based on the user needs and balance the cost and benefit. So it reminded me that when I read the comment letters from stakeholders, although as I said that there are no comments from users, but when I read the comment letters from those accounting firms, those, you know, accounting bodies as well, when they did the research or they did their recommendation, actually they really build on analysis of users' needs, some of them at least. I think some of the comments mentioned that we need to balance the cost and the benefit, but they typically mentioned that should not to, you know, lose the usefulness of those information to the users. That means they, we our proposal should provide those relevant, still provide use relevant you know, information to the users. So I think when we, I think in the future, if we are going to discuss with SMIC members, I think we can bring those analysis, those stakeholders build on to the SMIC members as well. So, and I think that is a very good point. Thank you.
Anne? My comment was also for the staff. In thinking about slide 30, the questions they're going to take to the SMIC, I thought about the SMIC group, and they're a very diverse group of people. Many of them are new on the committee. They haven't done this before. So I think it's really important how the staff frame their task. Sue has touched a lot on this, also Mary and Francoise. So I was thinking about how the brief that the SMIG will be given. So on the one hand, the role that Tadil, Jen Chow, and others who are involved, Bruce, the role that they take will be really important. And Sue's mentioned some specific things that need to be pointed out in terms of this, as they're making recommendations, they have to think about standard setting type recommendations, not necessarily just thinking about their own views or views they've heard. So that was one side of it. The other side of it is also about them, how they make these recommendations. Are they going to base this on the information that is presented to them, or is it going to be based on their own experience or the information that has been fed through to them from their contacts? And so that's some different sources. So I think it's going to be quite important that we understand how they arrive at their recommendations. Have they arrived at these recommendations based on the same materials we can see, the comment letters and the surveys, or are they drawing in new material that they are privy to that we as a board haven't seen as primary material? So I think if staff could be do some work on how the material is presented to them, so the SMIG knows what their brief is, and also how the material is presented back to us, so we have a good understanding of how the SMIG has processed information and added to the information. Thank you.
Rika.
Thank you, Hans. I think I agree with Francois's view and other board members' view. I especially about the first question about on the slide 37. I think it's quite important to ask SME implementation group member about whether, how, and when the board should align the IFRS for SME standard with full IFRS standards, because I still have, we need a lot of judgment around having a best balance between alignment with full IFRS and having a more stable platform for SME users. So I think, but at the same time, it's difficult for us to understand based on the generic ideas or generic thought from those members. So it will be really helpful to get a concrete example why they considered what approach will be more preferable in specific case. So I think a discussion with SME implementation group member will be not only just talking about the generic approach, but also connected to a concrete decision over what they prefer about the individual standards improvements or making a change in the SME standards. Thank you.
Any other comments? I don't think so. So I means that we are ready to vote on the staff recommendation. And a couple of suggestions have been made how this should be communicated with the SMEG members. Can I see who can support the staff recommendation? Okay. Does the staff have anything to add?
Not from my side. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Roberta and Vinnie.